Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. Says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. The book of Ephesians, written to Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles were not, in this day and age, these Gentiles were not raised under the Scriptures. Their consciences had not been taught by the Scriptures. They were Gentiles in their raising, but they had accepted the Lord, no longer Gentiles like the others, but now Christians, believers. And Paul was trying to educate their consciences. So that's why you'll find from this point on in the book of Ephesians, he begins to explain to Gentiles things that, well, basically we think ought to be just, you know, common knowledge. He says, let not fornication be once named among you. Meaning, you know, you're supposed to live right. You're supposed to do the right thing. He said, neither lying nor stealing nor all these unclean thoughts and all of these things. Be not drunk with wine. He's teaching them how to live. Basically educating their conscience. Basically trying to make them understand what the Jews already understood, for having been taught from childhood what the Scriptures have to say. What God likes, what God doesn't like. The will of God in our lives. A will that can be known. If you'll let God speak to you, you'll know God's will. And that's why he says over there, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So that the last half of the book of Ephesians is trying to educate the consciences of those who have believed on the Lord. Which brings us to several points that need to be made here. And I really want to dwell just on that one little phrase, because it sort of sums up in my mind the dangers that we face in this life as far as the conscience goes. He says in verse 19, who being past feeling. Who being past feeling. Now you might have a question, well, what is he talking about, being past feeling? And it makes me realize that so many things that we take for granted having to do with the conscience, it makes me realize, first of all, that every single one of us started off with a feeling that's associated with our conscience. Basically, God's saying, if you get to the point where you're past feeling, you wind up turning yourself over to lasciviousness and uncleanness with greediness. In other words, if you lose this important thing, you just go off the deep end. Meaning, this thing, this called feeling of the conscience, hinders you from going off the deep end. It fights against the loss and destruction that comes from going off the deep end, from immersing yourself in this horrible, wicked behavior. So that, it also makes me realize that all of us have a conscience. I mean, if we all have, naturally, the feeling of a conscience, well, then we all have a conscience. Now, some people misunderstand what that means. Some people actually think that conscience is just something that we learn from others. In other words, we're born absolutely with no concept of right and wrong, but because parents and teachers and policemen and judges and lawyers, they all tell us what's right and wrong, that we learn to distinguish between right and wrong from the atmosphere we live in. And that's true. In one sense, the conscience is educated by by people around us and by the laws that we see and by the Scriptures. In fact, there are all sorts of tools God uses to educate the conscience. And in this matter, I tell you that whether he's a Catholic priest or whether it's a president or whether it's a lawyer or whether it's just somebody that has an opinion and tells you that they don't believe that's right or wrong, all of these serve to educate your conscience. I mean, a priest might say that it's wrong to commit abortion. And he's right. He might not know how to get saved, but he knows that that's wrong. So he educates the conscience of someone who doesn't have a clue. Yeah. But does that mean then that they did not have a conscience before their conscience was educated? Absolutely not. They had a conscience. You can't educate something you don't have. You educate your conscience. You have a conscience. We all have a conscience. What that means is we all know that wrong exists. Moral wrong exists. And you know it. We all know it. It exists. It's in every single human being. And there are several ways to demonstrate that. You just look all over the world at every single culture, at every single stage in human development, in all the civilizations, in all time, and conscience existed. There were laws stating what's right and what's wrong. There were moral arguments. The oldest book we know about, anything about, either Genesis or Job, whatever it is, the oldest written record that we have talks incredibly deeply about right and wrong. Right and wrong. That's conscience. Now that doesn't mean, and I've heard the argument mistaken, misstated, or misplaced, in the idea that the conscience, that the fact that we all have a conscience means that we all believe the same things are wrong. And that's not what we're saying. I actually heard a debate between the Rational Response Squad, which always gives me a kick about how unbelievers think they're being rational. And they always want to name their little groups rational, you know, rational reason or whatever. Well, you know, just be careful on that. Because other people are pretty smart too. In fact, I'll have you know that people all over the world, all over time, the smartest people believed in God. We're talking about all of the respective founders of modern science believed in God. So don't talk to me, don't act, and don't pretend that you're being rational and reasonable and intelligent when you say you don't believe. They're not the same thing. But anyway, these people call themselves the Rational Response Squad, had a debate with Way of the Master group. And in this debate, the Way of the Master was proving the existence of God and used the three basic arguments of the existence of God. One, of course, the design and nature. And two, also, the miracles that God has done and proven Himself over and over. Just because He hasn't done the miracle for you doesn't mean it hasn't happened and somebody else has seen it and their testimony is valuable as scientific testimony. And that is absolutely true. But the third one is the idea of the conscience. And the idea of the conscience. And they actually mistook it. They actually made the claim that all peoples in all times have had the same rules, basically following the Ten Commandments, which was a mistake. And this Rational Response Squad caught on to it and pounced on it, and it looked like they lost that part of the debate. They didn't, of course, because the argument truly is the fact that every single person on earth has a conscience and knows that wrong exists. That proves that there is a God. You see, because wrong, moral wrong, cannot exist if there is no judgment, if there is no judge, if there is no accountability or responsibility to someone higher than yourself, it cannot exist. So that if we all know that it exists, and we all do, if we all know that it exists, then every one of us are boldly proclaiming that there is a God, that there is a judgment, that God cares what you decide and what you do and what you choose and what you say. If there is wrong, and there is, if there is right and wrong, That is the conscience. Whether or not we agree which things are right or which things are wrong, some cultures might say that killing your baby is not wrong. That comes from an uneducated conscience. But they would also say other things are wrong. And if they do, they are also admitting that there is a God. And this understanding of right and wrong, this concept, is not learned. It's not taught to us. We all know it automatically. You can just ask yourself, have you ever considered somebody else to be wrong? I don't mean, you know, like somebody steals from you or somebody lies to you or somebody cuts you off in traffic. I realize, you know, it's a little bit bothersome, but that's not what I'm asking. Have you ever judged it to be wrong? Immoral? And if you have, then you yourself are recognizing that there exists right and wrong. And that comes from conscience. That comes from an understanding of moral obligation. Moral obligation. If you have ever felt a debt, a moral debt to someone, for example, if you're drowning and somebody risks their own life and jumps in and pulls you to safety and saves your life, if you have that feeling that, wow, this guy saved my life, I owe him something, that's conscience. That's conscience. If you have that feeling, if you know that you have a debt to someone, that's conscience. If you have a sense of duty, if you have any sense of a responsibility, now I know some parents raise their kids without teaching them that from the time they're young, and so they're raised thinking food is free and already prepared and cooked and comes hot, you know, and beds are made automatically and stuff like that. And so kids will have a tendency, their entire, you know, youth, of thinking that they don't have any responsibility, they don't have any duties. But someday, sooner or later, they're going to learn. One day, they're going to mature, grow up, and finally realize, hey, this is my responsibility to do. I have to do it. Not just because they don't want to live in a messy house, but because they realize, now, I'm telling you the truth, all of us grow into this understanding. None of us automatically have a full sense of our responsibility from the day we're born. We grow into it, recognizing it after a while. And then after a while, you begin to realize my responsibility, my duty is more important than my pleasure or than my fun. So that then you're more willing to work hard as a sense of duty because you don't want to see your children suffer or you don't want to see your wife suffer. So a man will take upon himself responsibilities. And duty, that sense of duty, is conscience. It's what's in people. People understand that they have a duty. Have you ever looked at a deep blue sky and wondered, what is the meaning of life? Have you ever just looked at the stars and said, what? Ever had any sense of questioning? What is this all about? The sense of purpose is conscience. That's what it is. It is conscience. The fact that you know there's a purpose. I mean, this isn't a big accident. We know it's not a big accident. If you think that it's a big accident, it's because somebody talked you into thinking that. Anybody with any sense just looks around and says, no, 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 no. This is no accident. This didn't just happen for no reason. We all, even children, reach the point where they begin to think about what it's all about. They begin to think about death. And they wonder, what is the meaning of life? They might actually get depressed. What's the meaning of life? And they can't find it. They think maybe then, possibly, they're left with no other option but to think that life's purpose is pleasure or fun or frivolity or maybe that it has no meaning whatsoever. But if you ask yourself that question, that's conscience. It needs to be educated. You need to learn what the purpose of life is. You need to learn why God created us. You need to learn why He made the designs the way He did it. We all have conscience. If you've ever watched the movie and saw yourself in what's happening there, whether it's you feel in love, because on the movie they feel in love, or a horrible crime and somebody comes out and starts cutting somebody up and blood's rushing everywhere and you feel a sense of horror. Well, that's conscience. I mean, you're not being cut up. You're putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And you're feeling what they feel. Empathy. Sympathy. You understand what somebody else is feeling. Well, that's conscience. You see, conscience has a feeling. Which is also fairly amazing. Conscience is not just reason, it also has a feeling. God makes us complete humans. So that we have reason, we have a mind, we have abstract thoughts, and we also have feelings that come with those thoughts. We have a way that our mind can connect with our bodies. I mean, there are little chemicals that float around in our bodies that are secreted when the mind does something. So the mind thinks this way, and ooh, something goes into your body and you get chills, you know. Or you felt it, you know what I'm talking about. It has to do with the way the mind is connected to the body. And I know doctors are a little bit confused about some of these things. They're wondering, well, what? How? And you know, you can fool yourself into thinking or into having emotions that aren't really true. Now, I've never been drunk, but I understand that if you get drunk, you feel strong. You don't get stronger by getting drunk, you just feel stronger. And you don't feel pain as much, I understand. The fact is, there are drugs that can fool your body into feeling what's not really your mind is not telling it to feel that way. And yet we also know that when the body and the mind work appropriately, there are certain correct, appropriate feelings for certain thoughts. Well, that's what he says. The conscience has feelings that are appropriate to the conscience. The fact is, the conscience has feelings. And also that the feelings can be lost. Your conscience can lose its ability to feel. To the point where you become past feelings. Now, maybe you don't agree with me, but everything I just said right there is found right there in that phrase. Past feeling. You can lose your ability to feel what you ought to feel when considering right and wrong, when considering duty, when considering sympathy and empathy, when considering responsibilities and the meaning of life. You can lose what you ought to feel. So that now you can think all these things and not feel anything. You become past feeling. Is it possible to become past the feeling of a sense of duty to your children? Yes. You can actually lose the sense of duty toward your children. You can lose the sense of debt toward someone who's done everything for you or helped you tremendously. You can actually be educated out of it. So there's four things I want to touch on. What the feeling is. How it is lost. Why it matters. And what you can do about it. So number one, what is the feeling of the conscience? Well, the first feeling that comes with the conscience is guilt. Now I know, someone's going to say, oh now, come on. It's just the same thing. Conscience is guilt, right? No. There's a difference between guilt and the feeling of guilt. You've got to remember, there's a difference between those two things. One is guilt, and it really is guilt. You are guilty or you're not guilty, one or the other. But then there's a feeling of guilt. And you'll find psychologists and psychiatric books. My wife went to college, Cindy, went to college and studied psychology, and that's what I inherited. I got this book on psychology, so, you know, I read it. They're obsessed with the idea of guilt. It's an interesting thing. It's an idea that, you know, guilt is the problem. We have this sense of guilt, this feeling of guilt, and we've got to overcome the feeling of guilt. But how bad it would be if you overcome the feeling of guilt without overcoming the guilt. You see, because guilt is not an accident. Guilt is something real. If you do something wrong, your own conscience tells you that's wrong. You say, no, 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 but only because people told us it was wrong. Whatever, your conscience understood it and believed it. You had that understanding of right and wrong, and you saw that this was wrong. Before you committed it, you knew it was wrong, you did it, and then you feel guilty. Yes, of course. You feel guilty. You feel wrong. You feel like you're not right. Now, you say, no, I don't think I've ever felt that. Then your conscience hasn't been very well educated. There's a feeling that you ought to feel when you do something wrong. It's simply a matter of making a judgment on yourself. You can feel upset at somebody else for doing you wrong. Can you not feel upset at yourself for doing someone else wrong? You ought to. Because that's the sense, the feeling, that's the feeling that comes with conscience. It's called guilt feeling. It's a very necessary part of your life. Then another of the feelings of the conscience is fear. You see, because the conscience is not stupid. In fact, none of you are stupid. For all the pretentiousness of the rational response squad thinking that they're rational and the rest of us are irrational. And you know, when they call themselves the rational response squad, what else are they saying? We are the rational response squad. Well, what is everybody else then? The irrational ones. That's pretentious. What they should say is, we are the unbelievers. We don't believe. Don't be so foolish as to think just because you're unbelieving, you're rational. Well, the conscience is not stupid. You are not stupid. God gave you a certain clear intelligence. He made you know right from wrong, and He made you realize that there is a meaning to life. That there is a judgment, that there is somebody you're supposed to please, some things you're supposed to do. You know this down deep in your heart, even if somebody's tried to educate you away from it. You know that there are some things that are right and wrong, and you know that you have to do the right thing, so also comes with this feeling of conscience is fear. That if you're in the wrong, something bad's coming your way. And that is absolutely rational. For example, you walk up somebody twice your size and hit them straight in the nose. Well, what's the natural? Of course, you know what's going to happen. Because you know that it's absolutely rational for that person to swing back at you. That's absolutely right and natural. You don't have to experience it first. You can figure it out before you do it. You don't have to experiment that. You can just figure it out. That's what will happen. It's deduction, I realize that. But it's perfectly rational. So that when you do something wrong to someone, you ought to expect something wrong is going to happen to you. Something bad, something negative, something. Because it's only right. So that when you do something wrong to someone, you ought to feel that fear. There ought to be that sense of apprehension or nervousness. Did you realize that they can actually put little things on your arms and watch your internal nervous reactions when you lie and tell whether you're lying or not? That ought to tell you something. That when you lie, go ahead, pretend that we're just going to be rational. Since there's absolutely no right or wrong, I can just lie without any fear at all. I just lie. And yet something way down in deep is saying, I'm lying, I'm lying, I'm lying, I'm lying. And you can control your face. You know, some people are good liars. They can lie right to your face and you can't tell. At least I can't tell. Man, I must be a pushover because people can just lie straight to me and I just walk away thinking, no, there's no way they were lying to me. I trust them. I think they're going to do the right thing. But they can't fool their own conscience. It starts messing with them on the inside. And we're talking about something so small as lying. Even a white lie. Even a little simple white lie. My, that dress looks nice on you. You can't fool your conscience. I'm not really a very good liar. I don't say I don't lie. I just say I'm not very good at it. That dress does look nice, actually. Oh, shoot. I don't know if you guys noticed that there. Anyway. All right. Another of the feelings of the conscience is shame. You're not ashamed? You know what shame is? You know what shamefacedness is? That's another thing you can't fool. You cannot fool your body when you're ashamed. Because something happens and everything just goes right up into your face and you turn just red as a beet. Now, my daughter always thinks that I embarrass her because I talk too loud. You know, we're walking, you know, somewhere and I start talking too loud. She's, oh, Dad, just be quiet. So she's walking out and she decides to slide on the rail and slipped and went upside down onto the ground. And I mean, people were around laughing and she was laughing too. But I can't believe she thinks I embarrass her. I don't know what she's thinking. But I want you to know her face was red. She had to bury her face in my shoulder as we walked out to the car because she didn't want people to see her face. You see, because the face even knows when you ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed when you're naked. The Bible says so. And haven't you learned that? Young ladies, haven't you learned that? You ought to be ashamed. It's an amazing thing to me how people have lost all sense of shame. And another of the feelings of conscience is sorrow. You see, that's what I'm talking about when I say empathy. So that if you do something that actually hurts someone else, that you should feel sorry. There should be a sense of, oh. You know, why doesn't a mother feel sorrow for killing her baby? Why wouldn't a doctor feel sorrow for aborting a baby and it comes out alive? Oh, what are we going to do? So they strangle it. No sorrow. What happened to the sorrow? These ought to be natural feelings coming from your conscience. They are extremely valuable. Are you sorry for your sin? Are you sorry for doing something wrong to God?
Are you sorry for your disobedience to your parents? Or your disrespect to your parents? When you get pulled over by a cop, are you sorry for speeding? Or are you defensive, thinking the cop is racially profiling you or something? All right, that's what the feeling of the conscience is. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. How is it lost? How do you lose these feelings? Well, let me tell you, the one way, at least one way, that you can lose the feelings of conscience is by submerging yourself into sin so much that you can't differentiate. You can get yourself so completely immersed in wickedness that it has no effect on you anymore. I hear that's what they do, you know, with the allergy shots. They say you suffer from such an allergy, you know, of cedar or mold or whatever, so we're just going to inject you with a whole bunch of it. And so they just keep injecting you with a whole lot of it until after a while it doesn't affect you anymore. I understand that's the way it is with drugs. You start off with a little bit and you get your high. But then after a while, it doesn't affect you anymore, so you got to do more. And you got to do more, and then more, and then more, until after a while, no amount will satisfy you. Well, that's what happens with sin. Go ahead, immerse yourself into sin, and after a while, it won't mean anything to you. Cover your workshop with pornographic pictures. And then after a while, it just doesn't affect you. You got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why they tell you, watch out, pornography is progressive. Because after a while, it just doesn't give you the same feeling. And so you just got to do other things, worse things, worse things, worse things. You burn in your lust until no, your lust doesn't even work. You get too familiar with it. That's why you ought to watch out what movies you watch.
Yeah. Amen.
You ought to watch out what you read. You ought to watch out where you go, what kind of friends you have, and what kind of language they use. Because after a while, they keep using that language, and that language becomes second nature. You understand? You know what I'm talking about. You can lose the feelings of your conscience by immersion into sin. You can lose the feeling of your conscience by resisting your conscience. So that every time your conscience tells you, hey, I'm sorrowful because of this, you say, no, no, I won't be sorry about this. Or you're ashamed and you say, no, I will not be ashamed. You start bragging about it. You fight your conscience, you sear it. You just harden it till it doesn't affect you anymore. And that comes by day after day after day resisting your conscience. You can lose the feeling of your conscience by being educated out of it. You can actually be deceived. Be careful, people. Philosophy is deceitful. And so somebody will try to make you think that no, it doesn't even exist. It's all a figment of your imagination. It's all these gullible religious types that make you want to feel like, but all you're doing is repressing your natural instincts. The idea, of course, among so many nowadays is that we Christians are repressing our sexuality. Because we say no to premarital sex. Why in the world would we think that there's something wrong with premarital sex? Babies raised without fathers, maybe? Or killed before they're born? Babies not knowing who their parents are? Maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy. I don't know who it is. Why? And yet somebody can actually fool you into thinking that it's just a product of our imagination. No, 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 no. The conscience tells you. But if you listen to the wrong people and the wrong philosophies, you'll educate yourself right away from your conscience. You'll get to the point where you'll justify anything. You can justify murder. You can justify rape. You can justify homosexuality. You can justify abortion. You'll be able to justify bowing down to idols. You can justify just about anything if you get the right teacher. And they'll give you the right arguments. And they'll make it clear how you can spin the thing and everything will turn around. And everything then becomes, oh yeah, and you become free. And what you don't realize is it's not freedom. That's what you wanted to start with. Your wicked nature wanted to get out from under God's rule. And so you just followed the road to least resistance and you went down that deceitful road. Don't do that to your conscience. Another way it's lost is by religion. You see, religion will soothe your conscience. It won't give you the answer. It won't tell you how to get rid of your guilt. It'll just tell you how to get rid of your guilt feelings. It'll make you feel good. And religion does do that. Religion makes you feel good. You see, because they'll say, what God really wants is for you to come to church and give money to the church. And if you do that, God's okay. Never even realizing that God's not okay with that. That going to church is no substitute for living righteously. Giving money to the church is no substitute for paying your bills. Why does it matter? You say, oh, who cares? You know, you live in this life 70 years, and so at the end of 70 years, you've lost your conscience. Who cares? I'm going to tell you why it matters. You see, because salvation does not depend on doing good things and stopping sinning. Salvation depends upon repenting of your sins. And asking for forgiveness and seeking out the one you've offended and reconciling yourself to Him. And if you cannot feel sorry for your sin, how are you going to repent? Do you think God is so foolish as to just say, I'll save them whether they're repentant or not? In other words, a judge right down here at the courthouse sees a murderer. And the evidence all points to the fact that he's a murderer. And he's done it several times. And he says, I don't think it was wrong. I don't feel nothing about it. I'm okay with it. What kind of judge would send him back out on the streets? A horrible, wicked judge would. We dealt with a man who got drunk and went driving and hit the curb, went up on the curb and slammed into an old fella. Cost the man $40,000 just to get back up on his feet. And this man's been in prison because he's a flight risk. But you know, he had a real problem in that he kept on saying, but it was an accident. What's the big deal? Yeah, it was an accident, but it wasn't an accident getting drunk, and it wasn't an accident getting in your car and driving it. If you're not willing to take responsibility for your own sins and not feel any sorrow or any sympathy for the person you caused that to, the judge had to be hard. And it's a bad thing because then his wife has to work and the kids and it's a bad thing, but the judge had to be hard. Because there was no sense of remorse, no sorrow, no shame. He could not possibly let it go. He couldn't be even easy on him. And I know this judge, he would have been easy. He would have been good to him. He would have given him the benefit of the doubt if he'd have just shed a tear for what he had done. But they don't shed no tears. You say, why is my conscience so important? Because if you can't be sorry for your sin, how can God forgive you? How can God say, okay, then it's all right? You see, if you're not sorry for it, if you're not upset about it, if you feel no shame over it, no sense of responsibility for it, God will not forgive you. You can ask Him. Yeah, go ahead. Say, God, you know, I'm not really ashamed of my sin. I actually like fornication. I like stealing. I like all the good things I get from it. I like the way I'm living. I don't want to really do anything for You, and I'm not really sorry for having disrespected You or disregarded You all my life. In fact, I don't think You're worth the time of day. But forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven when I die. Well, who do you think God is? That kind of prayer doesn't work. He will forgive if you're brokenhearted. If you're contrite. If you could possibly shed a tear for the wrongs you've done. If you could possibly come to God and say, God, I'm not worthy to live. Can you have mercy on someone like me? God says He'll forgive. He paid the debt. He cleansed the slate. No more record. He'll actually make you clean. White as snow.
Amen.
But you have to be repentant. That's why you don't want to lose the feeling of your conscience. That's why you don't want to immerse yourself in sin to the point that then it doesn't matter to you. You can't even feel sorry about it. You don't want to resist your conscience so that it gets seared and that no longer even knocks on the door. You don't want to listen to the vain deceit, the vanity of their minds. All these rational people want to tell you that the conscience is made up. Don't listen to those lies. Your conscience is not made up. It's a real thing God gave you to allow you to come to Him and be reconciled.
Amen.
Don't throw away the feeling of your conscience. It matters. It matters for that day when God calls. You see, God does move. He moves among people. He comes. He talks about visiting, right? He says, I come and I'm going to visit. And when He visits, He moves on people and shakes people up. And they begin to cry. And they begin to seek Him. And they begin to wonder. And they begin to ask the right questions. And they seek Him back. All of those who still have a conscience. You don't want to throw away the possibility that God might speak to you someday and call you out of your meaningless life and give you something to live for, to actually teach you the real reason you exist. It's also possible for God just to give you up. The Bible says so. Say you reach a certain point, God says, no more. Give them up. Give them up. Give them over. Romans chapter 1. So, what can you do about it? Now, there's no doubt in my mind all of us have damaged our conscience. You've damaged your consciences. This week. You see, we're living in an age where sin inundates the airwaves. It's all over the internet. It's in the workplace. It's in every magazine. It's in the conversations. It's in the news. It's in the politics. The campaigns, it's filthy, sorry, ungodly lifestyles that cover us day after day after day. Some of you are wiser than others and you limit this inundation as much as possible. You say no to certain movies and no to certain programs and no to the television, or no to the internet, or no, and you just try to keep yourself as clean as possible. I know Christians who are extremely well self-disciplined in this area. And yet they damage their consciences also. So there's no doubt in my mind that some of you have done serious damage to your consciences. Over your small lifetimes, or over this week, you've actually done exactly the wrong thing as far as your conscience goes. you've actually hindered or damaged or seared, burned. You've hurt yourself. Is there hope for you? Yeah, there is. You still have a conscience. You can still quicken. You can still nurture your conscience. You can respond to it when it tells you. But what about those who have become past feeling? In other words, good preaching doesn't even touch you. You can sit there with your hands crossed and say, "Go ahead, preacher. Do your best. Try to affect me." Ha! Is there any solution for you who have lost all sense of conscience? I believe there is. It's a slim one, but I believe there's a chance for you. And it's this one. You see, salvation is not about feeling. Salvation is about faith. So you can take the Bible's word for what's right and what's wrong, even if you don't feel it. And you can say, "I'm going to obey the Bible's word, even if I don't feel it." So where it tells me to repent, even if I don't feel it, I'm going to repent. Even if I can't sense it, even if it doesn't affect me, no matter what it is, I know by my own understanding of God's Word and what God is saying. And I understand, and it's true, and I know it's true, but I don't feel it anymore. I'm too far gone. All you got to do is say, "I will accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I will repent of my sins without the feeling, and I believe God will accept that faith alone." Without a tear? Yeah. Without a tear. And that God would actually come to you and save you and quicken your conscience and give it back to you. Make it as fresh as the day you were born. That comes by faith, by believing what God says, even if you don't feel it anymore. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to touch us, to move upon us, and protect us, Lord. And especially, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you, I ask you to touch their hearts, save their souls. Have mercy on us, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing number 235. If you've got something you want to get right with God, you're welcome to come on down here in the front and pray. If you want to be saved, I want to talk to you. You can come talk to me. But let's sing number 235. We'll sing the whole song. If you want to come forward, you come on. The altar's open.